Welcome to Latest United We Stand podcast. It's Derby Day and, well, it's Manchester City against Manchester United. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Today's podcast is brought to you by Improve Easy. Improve Easy are helping United fans across the country save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY to 60777 to see if you qualify. That's text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777. Or see the advert in United We Stand mag where there's a QR code. Why not give it a go? You might be missing out.
Walking around the side of the city, it's a couple of hours before kickoff. There's a band playing Smith's song. Something on the wall here saying David Silva Ole El Mago, with a ship that looks like it's sinking. In all seriousness, there's a lot more life around here early on, a lot more things to do for fans than there is outside Old Trafford. So how do I feel about this? Well, not good at all. Probably as bleak as I've ever felt about a Manchester derby.
He just played
well, there you go. I'm seeing the new Co-op Arena. Looks like a big PlayStation, PS5, whatever they're called. Actually, I think it looks quite smart. That's going to be the biggest indoor arena in the United Kingdom, and the second biggest one is also in Manchester. So Jim Ratcliffe's point about arenas was a bit mute, to be honest, but I'd agree with him about how Old Trafford does need redevelopment and the area around it too, and building a box park facility is what he said. It's a great idea, given how difficult it is for fans to get tickets to away games. Now, normally at this point on a derby day, I'd go and see Dave Wallace, who's done King of the Kippax since 1988, and they called it a day recently, so I'm not going to be able to do that. Dave is 80 now, so I think it's fair to say he's served his time. Looking at cranes around the ground here, and City are adding another tier to one end of the boot camp. This area of Manchester has probably suffered more from post industrialisation than any other. It was densely packed with factories and smoking chimney stacks for 900 years, and then a lot of it lay derelict by the old gasworks. And the city of a lot has gone on around here with Simon Peach. You're happy to come on the United We Stand podcast, Simon Peach?
I am, as long as you take off your half and half scarf.
Imagine if.
Simon's happy because he's a Southampton fan and he went to St Andrews yesterday and saw his team win 4-3 away, which for if you're a football fan and you see your team win 4-3 away, that must have been a buzz.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it for Southampton, sorry.
I'm getting used to it now. I was in the away end when we won at Hull in the last minute, when Bazunu scored for an equaliser at Preston in the last minute, when we won at Millwall in the last minute, so I'm getting used to it.
Think you're going to come back up?
No, but I'm enjoying the ride a lot more than I have in the Premier League the last few years.
Because you're winning and...
Well, it's just, you feel like you can identify with the team. And I guess you segue onto United there. Like, can you identify with the team right now? That's you want to feel like part of it and that they represent you.
It's a struggle at the moment with Manchester United. I'm seeing people selling half and half scarves, which I get, you know. Manchester grafters, I know a lot of them. It's the people who are buying them that confuse me. And people are buying them. So let me speak to a random scarf seller. Let's see. Hello, young man. Nice to see you.
Yeah, what are you up to? Podcasting.
Yeah, last time I spoke to you was in Copenhagen, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This is Dirty Neck, who's been a regular on this for a while. How are you feeling about today?
I'm not watching it sober. That's the way I've got to watch these now. Honestly, can't watch them sober.
Because City is so good or United is so bad?
Both.
Mm. So where's that song's coming from here? People are singing Old Trafford's falling down.
That is up there with Build a Bonfire with me. And it's like, you know, silly songs.
Do you have any optimism at all about today? No.
Not one.
No.
You?
No.
Yeah, well, there we go.
No, like 10%. Yeah. Like 10% chance.
I've seen one of the bets today. Mm. It's only 5-1 for City to score more than 5 goals.
Right.
5-1.
I did feel pretty bleak about Liverpool in December and United somehow got a
We had the best chance of the game.
Yeah.
But this, and it, I don't mean to be rude, but...
Okay, my friend. Good luck. Score prediction.
All right. 3-0 City. Can't see any different.
Do you see like red and blue mates here outside the ground?
Both times, yeah.
Wind you up.
Hey. Yeah, more or less, yeah. Yeah. I don't want the out, so that's one good thing.
See you in a bit. That's Dirty Next, who's from round here, from Gorton, which pretty blue area. But any red listener to this from Gorton will go, no, it's not. I'd accept that there are a lot of blues in Gorton. So Simon, you cover Manchester United. How do you read the situation in the club? How do you read the mood at the club? Ineos are coming in.
I have quiet optimism. I'm a natural-born pessimist, as we've discussed, being a Southampton fan. But they're making the right noises after, 20-odd years of no noise or no action. So I'd like to think that the club's going to be back on the right track on the field, and things are going to improve off the field in terms of structures, both physical and personnel-wise. At the moment, this kind of feels like, and I'm not trying to diminish Jose Mourinho's achievements his first season, when United get results, it's because they have better players that manage to get over the line rather than any kind of tactical smartness. I'm not seeing United out-tactic sides, I'm seeing them better sides when they do win. So, yeah, I hope Eric Ten Hag was a breath of fresh air last year, wasn't he? This year's obviously not going as well at all.
Do you think he'll be manager by the end of this year?
I think we'll know in a month's time, really.
Yeah. Dependent on what? Champions League qualification?
Look.
Or FA Cup?
United get battered today.
Yeah.
They go out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They don't show performance, never mind the results. And you're going, well, you've got a guy who's trying to make changes and see an exciting new future at United, and does Eric Ten Hag fit that? As I said, I hope he does succeed, because I think he's done more right than he's done wrong, but it's just not quite clicking at the moment. And look, the mitigating factors of injuries are absolutely right, but should have pushed I wouldn't have let Alvaro Fernandez go if there was issues over Tyrell Malacia and Luke Shaw's fitness, or if Reguilón returned to Tottenham. There's been some bad errors, and I'm not sure how culpable he's been in some of them.
I saw, results have not been bad in 2024 so far, but the mood just slumped after the defeat to Fulham last week at home. Fulham had won one away all season, and the point you made there about style of play, I think, is really important. I think if fans could see what was actually happening, because I can see his idealised 11 now with Kobbie Mainoo and Hoyland up top and Garnacho on the left or the right.
But
then you just worry badly when you see what happens.
But also, you know when United win. They won at Luton, quite fortunately in the end, despite being in a comfortable position. They beat Villa, having rode a storm for large parts of the match. They're not imposing themselves on the side and going, oh, you know what, we've been caught. They're leaving themselves open in certain areas. I'm not a tactical genius. That's not on me to sort. But you'd like to think that there'd be a bit more about them and a bit more fluidity and balance. I think balance has been an issue all season. And I'm really interested to see what they do at fullback today.
Yeah, I'm really worried about what the team do at fullback. I wouldn't mind speaking to... I wouldn't mind speaking to a City fan. A couple of years ago, outside where I am now, which is the main entrance, the Colin Bell stand, West Reception, I met that City fan who dresses like in full City regalia. He's got a Manchester City butty box.
Do you want a photo?
I definitely do not want a picture. No, so that says Etihad Stadium, the best team in the land and all the world. Someone's talking here now.
Hopefully we can do a job today and
Talking a load of shizzle. Who's talking here? Someone talking in public saying he hates Man United. So now surrounded by Blues. Walking through them all. Thought from the away end, and the away end is there's big walls around it. There's signs everywhere saying treble winners. I was at the derby last week in Tunisia, and it's a lot more raucous than this. It's quite calm here because most of the fans are in the pub. Alright, let me try and find a blue. I was going to meet one of my brother of my in-law, but he can't make it until later on, unfortunately. So the first City fan I saw is a gentleman here with a Manchester City tracksuit, and just went up and said, would you like to come on a Manchester United podcast? He said, which one? And I said, United We Stand. And he said he listens to it. Is that true? What's your name?
It is Jimmy's my name. I'm from Ireland. I do listen to it up and down. The reason I listen to it is probably for all the wrong reasons for Man United fans. I listen in to listen how bad you're going at the minute. And I kind of like that. However, I know the tables are going to turn. But for now, we're top dog, and I like listening in that you're kind of using us as the benchmark of what's the best around, best in class at the minute.
So you've come in today from the game?
Yeah, I come over from Ireland. Yeah, I come over maybe 10 times a year.
Okay, and how long have you supported City?
Since 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
So what?
Niall Quinn.
Really?
Niall Quinn. I met Niall Quinn after Italia 90, and that was it. I was a City fan, but I cursed him for years because of all the misery that we went through. But
have you seen him since to tell him that?
I haven't met him since. No, I actually have a jersey for him to sign, but he owes me that at least for all the years of misery. But Niall Quinn is the reason.
So Niall Quinn being a big striker for the Republic of Ireland meant that your club allegiance transferred to Niall Quinn in 1990. So 90, City had just been promoted, 89-90, they came up, didn't they? Actually went to the first home game of that season against QPR, because I was doing a geography project, and Manchester City sent me free tickets, so it's not all going to be negative today.
Okay.
And Manchester United didn't, and I did appreciate that at the time. So you say you come over like 10 times a season, and has it always been like that?
No. When I was younger, I wouldn't have had the money to come over. But so I come over since probably 2003.
Yeah?
Yeah. So they were shit at that stage as well. But you're no different. United, they're your team. I'm City, they're my team. No matter what's going to happen, they're my team.
Are there any Blues in Dublin, in the Republic
I'm not
of Ireland?
I'm from a town called Moat in County Westmeath. There's new Man City fans now.
Okay.
But prior to that, there was three. And it's either, if you've been to Ireland, you know it's either Liverpool or United or Celtic, really. That's the general population of supporters, really, with English teams.
So in your town, there were three?
Yeah.
Name them. I think they deserve the credit for being...
John Walsh and Kieran Harton. Both guys were in their 50s. They're probably in their 70s now, but they were City fans. There was three of us. We could have had our supporters club meeting in the telephone box.
And how many Man United fans would be in your town or Liverpool?
There's about, if there's 1,500 people in my town and there's 600 fans, probably about 300 are United.
Right. And Liverpool, pretty much similar.
Probably about 240. And then the rest is scattered in Celtic, City, Leeds, actually.
Yeah, Leeds is interesting because in the 70s, they attracted a big support in the Republic
Leeds
of
and
Ireland.
Aston Villa, a few Aston Villa fans, called it Paul McGrath as well.
Yeah, okay. And then how do you feel about the new City fans, because I speak to family members who are Blues, and one of them said, we've won the lottery. I've seen trophies I never thought we'd win, but there is a small price to pay in terms of, we used to slate you for picking up glory hunters, and now I'm got a games and I'm seeing people thinking, this is your first match.
I actually was just speaking about this to a guy earlier on. He's a Man United supporter. He's gone into corporate level into City there today. But I was just kind of saying to him, he's asked me what's it like, and I was saying, I think we're actually turning into E a bit, because the last three games I've been at, I've been sitting beside someone, it's their first game, and they don't know any songs, they don't know anything. They're kind of here to see Erling Haaland, and it bugged me a bit. Listen, it was my first game once upon a time as well, so I get that. But yeah, they're not here to sing songs, they're not here to... And that kind of frustrates me a little bit. But, I mean, I was a New City fan once upon a time, so everybody has to start somewhere, I guess.
And I'm seeing the rise of City shirts. Just in the last 2 months, I've been in South America, I've been in India, and I'm seeing City shirts on sale in airports. And 20 years ago, we would have been like, is this some elaborate wind-up? Because it just
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that, yeah.
Now. Talk about today's game. How are you feeling about it?
It's a derby, right? City are better than United, but that's, you know, yourself. I've seen City get results when United are twice as good as City. I do see it going one of two ways. United 1-0, maybe a Rashford breakaway goal, or else City 4-0.
A Rashford breakaway goal. My gosh, I'd do anything for
yeah.
Unfortunately, we've not seen the best of Marcus Rashford this season at all.
Yeah, yeah, he's a quality dog. He's not in good form.
John O'Shea, Republic of Ireland caretaker manager.
Yeah, I was just speaking to his assistant on the plane over this morning, Brian Kerr. Listen, I wish him the best luck. He's a great servant for Ireland. He was a brilliant servant for Man United as well.
He's a great lad, John. Yeah. Absolutely great lad. I wish him all the best as well. He's proud to represent his country and... yeah, I think it's decent for him. How do you feel if I say 1-1-5 to you?
1-1-5-2?
No, 1-1-5, the charges.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, how do I feel about it? I would go back to when did FIFA Fair Play come in? It came in a year after City were taken over, right? So I look at it and go, well, why did it come in a year after City got taken over? If it's such a good scheme, why didn't it come in 30 years ago? I understand why it came in, okay? And I do have some maybe negative pieces to it. I think there's a bit of corruption. You're going to hear that from City fans a lot, right? But, I mean, if they broke the rules, they broke the rules and they'll get punished. That's the way I see it. If they broke the rules.
You got mates in Manchester from coming over loads?
There was a guy there earlier on. He was actually doing a Manchester 10K. So Jason Dunnigan, he's a Man United fan. Most of my friends are Man United fans or Liverpool fans. So, yeah. A friend of mine actually was a youth at Man United years ago as well, with John O'Shea. He didn't make it to the first team, but he was here for
what's
a good few. Eric Malloy.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a really good guy as well. So he would have, John O'Shea would know him well. So yeah,
you've obviously experienced some unimaginable highs with City from when you started. What about the low points?
Yeah,
because for years were you just, this is my team, I'm following them. Okay, we're going down. Okay, we're going down again. We're coming up. Was this just life as a blue?
It was. And in Ireland as well, I don't think people would understand it, because I think when you buy into a team and it's your club, that's it. You're in it 100%. Like, I would remember when City got relegated the second time, I was in floods of tears. And, like, people just, what's wrong with this guy? Like, you know, but they just didn't understand it. I mean, it's a very different story now, but I suppose what I'm trying to say is I know where we came from, and I either get frustrated with people who leave their seats early at half time and before the end of the game, because you're never going to see this football again. It's ridiculous. Like, and why would you go 5 minutes early in a game? This is amazing. You're never going to see this again.
And talking about specific games, I noticed Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying City against Real Madrid last season was a sort of benchmark for football.
I was here for that game last year, and that first half, I actually had words with a fellow City supporter who got up at 38 minutes to go in and get a pint on the concourse, and I just stopped him and I said,
I'm shaking my head here because it's bizarre, isn't it?
I'm just there, you're never going to see, we're 2-0 up against Madrid, we're playing them off the park and they're the European champions. Where are you going? Why are you leaving? But there's a couple of fans who leave early, and that's their reason. It happens in every club, but I guess some people forget where we're after coming from, and that's my gripe, you know.
Was that the best City performance you've seen?
Yeah, without yeah.
Against Madrid.
Well, when you consider the opposition, City played so well so many years, but against the opposition, yeah.
This an absolutely beautiful smell of curry around here. And I don't know where it's coming from, but yeah. How is it getting tickets now? Has it become more of an issue?
Yeah. Without Jess, it's harder to get tickets now because, as I said,
for away games or for home games?
I only go to home games. I've no real draw to go to away games. I like coming over and go to the home games, and this is where I like coming. But yeah, it's definitely getting harder. I would have been able to get 3 or 4 tickets and been able to bring a few people. Now I can only really get one.
And that's because you've got a membership.
Yeah.
And you apply that way.
Yeah, and I'm a supporter club for in Mullingar and in Westmeath for years as well. So
your history is tracked by the club. They know who you are, gives you access, which is fair enough. What do you think of Manchester as a city?
Yeah, it's a good city. It's Manchester is Manchester, really, isn't it? I understand that from coming over for years. It's like no other city I've ever been in either. They have their own fashion, their own attitude, their own thing. I guess, listen, it's a good city.
I'm going to gulp here and say, can I have your prediction for today?
4-0 City.
4-0? It's not. I'm going to meet you afterwards. We're going to discuss the game.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving us your time.
Andy, pleasure. All right.
The game's about to kick off. City have got some flags. I can't quite read what they say on them. Something about Campion. Peons. You can hear it. And there's 3,000 reds. Sandwiched between a load of blues, split over 3 tiers. United are a goal up. I'm in the City section, so I've got to be careful, but you can hear 3,000 United fans singing hello, hello, we are the Busby Boys. And just before that it was 20,000 empty seats. Are you fucking sure? City attacking, of course they're attacking. Good save from Onana. There's 14 minutes just passed on the clock. City have been dominant so far. Completely dominated the first 5 minutes, but then Manchester United hit them. Long ball from Onana forward to Bruno Fernandes. Excellent hold-up play. What a rocket from Marcus Rashford. One of the goals of the season right there. Onana comes out to claim high corner ball in, so this was not expected. I am not complaining. Okay, United fans now singing with the pride of all Europe. 3 minutes into the second half, Haaland's just got a chance, City have got a chance. Oh my word, Onana saves again, Johnny Evans. So City fans are singing, come on City, come on City. The sun is shining onto the top tier of the 3,000 Manchester United fans. And I'm expecting it to be all City. It's just as it was for most of the first half. But after 49 minutes and 26 seconds, it's still Manchester United 1. Manchester City 0. And United have defended fantastically so far. Been lucky as well. Onana's taken everything that's come in to him, usually high. United are playing with a false nine with Bruno. And Scott McTominay's in the position where Bruno usually played. United taking the time now, that's why you're hearing boos. Not saying that they're playing it in the corner so early on. The boos are because United are in no rush, and why would you be? So after 50 minutes, 115 seconds, it's still, I can't carry on like this, can I, for the whole half? City now singing the Alanga song, which was stolen from Manchester United. Yeah. Listen to him. Marcus Rashford running by himself into the United half. 2 players around him. The scoreboard still says Manchester City 0, Manchester United 1. Haaland comes deep, but Scott McTominay wins the ball. Bruno nudges the ball to him. Lovely footwork from Bruno. But he's got
he's got no one to give it to because Varane's solid at the back. Big Vic on the left plays the ball back to Onana, who gives the ball. Oh, that's a nice ball. Oh, that's a lovely ball. Casemiro, and United move into City's half. I'm going to stay on until this move breaks down. And United are just keeping the ball quite nicely. I've got Darren Fletcher sat two to my left, and he's just saying, go, go, Cobby, go, Cobby, go, Cobby, yes, Cobby. And that's a ball out wide to Marcus Rashford. So United aren't just hitting him on a transition here. United are actually holding the ball up, building the movement quite well, keeping possession. Big Vic plays the ball across, playing the ball side to side. It's now with Garnacho. I'm not stopping recording now until this end. This end moves. Till this move ends. United are keeping the ball firmly inside City's half and absolutely fine, just pinging the ball around. Rafael Varane switches the ball past. Oh, this is good stuff from United. This is a nice little period of possession for Manchester United. And I'd like to say that Pep Guardiola's getting frustrated, as he appeared to in the first half, but he looks quite calm there. United are just pinging the ball around really nicely. Goes out to Garnacho, 53 minutes gone now. Still a long, long time to go in this game. And United have just lost it because Dalot put the ball out the way, and that leads to a Manchester City attack with Phil Foden. I said I'm going to stop this bit of recording when United lost the ball, and they have done. Well, let's just see if City score. No, nice, and now it's nice and controlled with Scott McTominay. It's now City 2, United 1. There's 18 minutes gone. Phil Foden scored both of them, and City fans have finally come alive. So United have got to do what they've not been doing now since the goal, and come out and try and take advantage of any attacks, any chances. Amrabat's come on for Garnacho, I think. Jeez. City 3, United 1, that's the final. Final whistle's just gone now.
AG1 is empowering people to take ownership of their health. Designed by scientists, it's a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. AG1 is a powerfully simple supplement with vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced nutrients and more in a single scoop that takes seconds to mix each morning. It helps support your brain, heart, energy and immune system. AG1 was designed to support your body's needs every day and here to make healthy habits beautifully easy for you. Just one scoop, once a day, one glass of water, all in less than 1 minute. I'm taking AG1 at the moment. I'm training to do a first ever marathon. So what are the benefits? Focus and energy. Immune health, because AG1 is your daily dose of vitamin C, zinc, and more support overall to your immune health. Stress and mood balance. Well, not after watching Manchester United lose at Manchester City. But it helps support your metabolism and promote mental clarity, alertness and better focus. Healthy aging. AG1 promotes longevity by supporting cellular metabolism, the health of the skin, brain and heart, and nutrient replenishment. AG1 contains a broad spectrum of micronutrients to keep the body nourished all day, every day. It's good for your skin, your hair, your nails with vitamin A. Biotin and zinc contribute to the maintenance of normal skin. AG1 contains the highest quality ingredients, the strictest manufacturing standards. It's an effortless daily habit and the cumulative benefits and long-term investment in your health.
Eric, you were in front early, but you didn't have a lot of possession and you didn't many shots. Did you actually deserve to get anything out of it?
Well, but football is not only about possession. Of course, you need the ball to score a goal. And I think we scored a brilliant goal by the start, but also after that. I think in the first 20 minutes we had some opportunities more. Also before, if Garnacho passes that ball in the first moment to Rashford, and that was not a good opportunity. And also after it as well, Rashford had more. I think we defended brilliant out of possession, and on defining moments we didn't had it on our side, because just for the 1-1 I think Rashford was in another break, and just before the 2-1 there was Garnacho in a breakthrough. So I think we were really close to win, or at least get a draw here.
You were obviously unhappy with the Kyle Walker tackle on Marcus just before City equalised. I don't know if you watched it back, do you really think that was bad?
I will not say it was a tackle for Kyle Walker. They both run, but Retzi confirmed to me there was contact, and I saw it back. It was very soft, but you will understand when you are in a full speed run and you get a little touch, and then you are out of control. And that, I think, that what's happened.
All right.
Eric, given the injuries to your squad, was that style of play the only option for you to soak in possession and try to spring on the counter-attack? And how far away do you think United are from coming to a place like the Etihad and playing kind of proactive football that you like?
But I think over proactive also, you can do it defending. And for a long time in the game, we were very proactive in defending the front foot, defending our box, keeping them away from opportunities, and then go in the counter attacks where we had our moments. And you know, City is a very good team, very consistent in the way they play. They will create their chances. But as I just comment, we had our moments and we could have scored the second goal. And I have to see how this game will go to an end.
Taking Rashford off and taking Evans off, were they both injuries? Like, that seems to affect the game.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I had to take them both off. They fought to be part of this game, but after 60, 70 minutes, we had to take them off, we had to sit them. And it was not in our advantage. I thought Donny was playing in the back line brilliant. Ressi was a threat. It was not only at the goal scoring, as I already said before in this press conference. I think he had 3-4 moments where he could have scored. He scored the first one, but he could have scored even more.
James.
Eric,
you're 11 points behind Aston Villa now, you're six behind Spurs, and got a game in hand. Do you think the top four's out of reach in your hopes of Champions League qualification hinge on England getting a fifth spot in the competition this season?
So if we catch up from January, and you had the same questions and we had the same questions, but yeah, it can be a quick turnaround, and yeah, we have to go into another final and try to get closer to them. And it can be an advantage, and the fifth spot can be also a Champions League spot. We have to go for it, but yeah, we have to win our games.
You've scored the same number of goals as Luton this season, you're 18th in the Premier League, and you obviously only have one shot on target today. Is that becoming a pressing problem for you now, if this team's lack of goals?
I don't think it's a good question today. As you see, from January we scored many goals. So I think we're really progressing on that side. Our front line is absolutely a threat. We have to see Rasmus Højlund, we get him back. But you see Garnacho, Rashford, Bruno behind, they are in a very good form, can score goals, will create chances. So I think we can score more goals, and we can score enough goals to win the football games.
And Pirate, you just said there that there's a couple more injuries to Johnny Evans and Marcus Rashford. You obviously already got quite a lengthy injury list. Is it possible that the squad is just going to be too stretched now between now and the end of the season to get anywhere near that top four?
Oh, we're working on that players returning, and I think players will return in the coming weeks. So especially after the international break, hopefully Johnny Evans and Marcus Rashford is not too bad, and that they recover and that we can use them in the next game against Everton.
Last question.
About the position Bruno Fernandes played in today, kind of all the time. Do you like the way he played, and do you think it's an option you can use later on in the season, or it was just an emergency?
Oh, I think he played very good and in defending, but also offensive-wise, very smart, dropping in the right moments, also running behind, like in the first goal, in the goal we scored. Yeah, it can be an option. Think so? Absolutely not. You see, we have many problems now in injuries, and still we had an opportunity because by a really small margin, as I say, we could have scored the second goal. We could have scored the second goal in a debatable moment, and in the second debatable moment. So you see, it's not that big, and especially when we have everyone on board. I think we can be competitive, and I think also we showed, for instance, in the cup final against them, when it's really close. But City is in this moment, don't forget this, the best team in the world.
So that's it for this podcast. Disappointing. Got a week now in old football, watching everyone else play Champions League football. And then it's Everton on Saturday. I'm going to finish off the latest United We Stand mag. It's a really good mag. Got some brilliant writers. And actually, when things aren't so good, the fanzine can be really strong. And you just see stuff in there that you will not find anywhere else. Stuff that will make you think, that will make you laugh, that will make you cry. And it goes to print Tuesday morning. So if you want to subscribe to the next 10 issues, get lively. I'll put a link in with this podcast. I'll put it out on my Twitter as well. And that'll see you right through to next year. Freshly printed mags delivered straight to your door. Well, that's the theory anyway with Royal Mail. Until next time, goodbye.